T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't know that I can put a definitive number on it, but I think it's well north of 50-50. It's not a coin flip. I think the job that he did coming in this season, that may have been one of the toughest midseason takeovers in hockey history. When you consider where this team was at, how downtrodden and broken they were in the middle of a 12-game losing streak, it's one thing to get them playing better, but it's another thing to just get them to get their heads up. And that was the first task. He was able to do that, capture their attention, and then, by the way, they played better. It's a fascinating story with Don Granato, and the game doesn't always give you what you deserve, but for what he's been through, and also the coach that he was at one point in his career, the AHL Coach of the Year, the next hot thing, to end up in this spot exactly two decades later, it's not just a feel-good story. I think it's the right play for the Buffalo Sabres. He's gone to the U.S. National Development Program, coached kids, teenagers for 3 years. He knows what makes this generation tick, and if you're the Sabres, you need a coach that's going to make your players and your team better. You don't need a finisher to come in and win the Stanley Cup. You need someone that can put your team back on the map, and I think he's the guy to do it.
That is Frank Saravelli, TSN senior hockey reporter, was on with us yesterday talking about Eichel and Granato and a whole bunch of fun stuff. It is in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us. We were talking a little bit about the Bills and the schedule. We've been talking about the Sabres and how you're feeling about them going into the offseason. It's not been a good week for the Sabres this week after finishing, making you feel a little bit better about how they were playing at the end of the season. But for fun, by the way, Jeremy's off. He's back Monday. But, and Paul has been kind enough to sit in with us. He's going to stick around for another hour on the show. And for fun, I said to Paul, I texted him and said, hey, what do you say we talk about our favorite all-time Sabres? So I told him a top 10. I initially had tweeted that out, and I realized, okay, that's a lot of names for everybody. So I made it like number one all-time. Sal actually tweeted a name, which is, and this guy is on my top 10, and I don't know that he's showed up on anybody else's list today, but I'll get to in just a second. All right, P-Ham, so how do you want it? You want to go with number one right off the bat? Give me your number one guy, and we'll go from there.
And what Sal's talking about, it's the only number missing in the rafters.
Yes, and it's a good choice.
It should be there.
Yeah.
And because I'm the person that thinks way too many numbers get retired and there are way too many statues out around the league. A statue is the ultimate. And, you know, I go to some places like St. Louis and there's statues all over the place and it's just like, no.
Really? I was going to ask you, Paul, like how many – like I've been to a number of baseball stadiums. I've probably been to more baseball stadiums than hockey. And I didn't realize, like you go to Pittsburgh and Clemente is there for sure. I think maybe Stargell.
Yeah.
In Boston, Ted Williams, I believe, is outside the stadium, I think, if I'm correct.
I've only been there once, and I don't remember.
You know what? Somebody tweet me, a Red Sox fan who's been to Fenway.
St. Louis has a bunch of
baseball Blues?
Players.
Oh, baseball players. Yeah.
And the Blues do, too. They have Bernie Federko and Brett Hall and Al McGinnis.
Really? I mean, you can have great players and not have statues.
Yeah.
Like the French Connection statue. Yeah, I get it.
And I would buy a statue. I think a statue of Dom would be appropriate, and then you're done.
Yeah.
You're done with statues.
Yep.
But there are just way too many numbers. I would not have Tim Horton. I would have a memorial for Tim Horton in the arena somewhere.
Yeah.
I would not have his number retired. Right. I would not have Pat LaFontaine's number retired. He probably missed half the games he was a Sabre with injury. Great player.
Yeah.
Absolutely great player. But I just don't think number retiring player, just because, you know, he just wasn't it's unfortunate what, you know, what happened to him with the injuries.
By the way, the guy who we never actually mentioned the name, it's Mike Ramsey. And I think Mike Ramsey should be on any top 10
list.
Yeah,
he's on my list.
For so many different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that really honored Mike Ramsey as an NHL player was they had that series against Russia. It was the best 2 out of 3.
Yep.
It was the NHL, not, you know, not Team Canada or anything like that. And it was the NHL against Russia. It was the best 2 out of 3, and Mike Ramsey made that team as one of the top 6 defensemen. And in an era where the Norris Trophy is which defenseman has the most points, it's not the best defenseman, which I feel it should be. It's which defenseman has the most points.
Mm-hmm.
And for Mike Ramsey to be that well thought of to be one of the top 6 defensemen to play in that series, I think says it all.
You know, you mentioned LaFontaine. I put him number 1 on the list, and you have different. And there could be different reasons
he's
why
he's not on my list.
He's not okay. I'm telling you, Paul. He to me, and when I talked about like favorite players, it could be strictly how they played. It could be. I think part of it is who they were. Like I put Marty on the list, but I mean he's not a better goalie than Hasek or a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah, Marty's on my list.
But I love Marty. I mean he's a good player, but it's not just the way they performed on the ice. Now Mike Ramsey was a really good defenseman, but also the guy was just a warrior, you know, like he was a leader and all he did for the team and, you know, doing it's so to me it's not just what was your stat line. I always loved LaFontaine, Paul. To me he was you know, again, he made a name for himself with the Islanders, and you brought up, you know, the injuries here and all that. But to me, watching him play, like, there was, in my opinion, there was always a certain amount of electricity when this guy stepped on the ice. Like, I always looked forward, even as a reporter, you know, and you have to just look at things a little bit differently than you do as a fan. Even as a reporter, he was a player that would always get me on the edge of my press box seat because he was that exciting. He was worth the price of admission when he was, you know, playing and he was healthy. Electric, talented, skillful player from a media standpoint, usually available, right? Pretty good guy to talk to. I just always loved watching him play. I think I put Briere in there too. Like Briere reminded me how I felt a little bit about LaFontaine, just the excitement and the buzz to watch this guy perform was, you know, and then when he made the magic with McGillney and the great year they had. So I always loved LaFontaine.
Yeah, I put Briere on instead of LaFontaine. Probably, I think the reason being he was just more genuine. I just enjoy – my list has some toughness on it. You know, I look at players I enjoyed watching play or enjoyed covering. Marty would have been – I enjoyed covering him. And I enjoyed watching him play. Marty would pull himself out of position and then come back and make the Sports Center save. Like all of a sudden he's in the corner somewhere and he's coming flying across the crease, you know, stretched out. He's got his stick sticking out and the puck hits the shaft of his stick. And it's the number one thing on SportsCenter. I mean, he was fun to watch that way.
yeah, you know what? So it isn't right. It's not just talented guys. I mean, again, Statline, you brought up toughness. I got Jay McKee on my list. I always respected him as a player, Paul. And again, he's not, his name's not going up in the rafters. If they ever do the Sabres Hall of Fame again, I don't think he's going in the Sabres Hall of Fame. But a very good defenseman, reliable, pretty dependable in terms of you knew what you were going to get from him night by night. I, again, from a media standpoint, I always like talking to Jay, even in down times, even in like I think there was a stretch where, I don't know if he was maybe the player rep, and there was a lockout going on. He was accessible. He had a contract issue at one point, and he would still talk to us. I always admired the way he played, especially when he was teamed up with Warner. And again, not a stat line that'll show up, not a lot of points, but a guy that you just, that's kind of the type of player and person I think you want in your organization.
Yeah, the second best shot blocker behind Mike Ramsey. That was something that he was phenomenal at. And that helped a lot too, because you've I'm sure heard me say either block the shot or get out of the way. Let the goaltender see it. If you're going to screen your goaltender, you better block the shot. And Jay McKee was phenomenal at it. you know, and he very rarely, I mean, it happened upon occasion, but he very rarely got his goaltender in trouble because he was out in front of him trying to block shots.
We don't need to spend any time discussing why Hasek is on the list. I mean, if a Sabres fan is doing a list.
He's not on my list, no.
Come on, you're killing me with this. What's wrong with you? You just didn't like him?
I don't like him, dislike him. He just wasn't on my list.
He's one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise, Paul.
Yeah, but you only gave me 10, so there was.
Who did you put in that you didn't have room for Hasek?
I have Gilbert Perreault.
Okay, yep, you got it. See, now again, I didn't. He would be on my list if I saw most of his career, but I didn't. So go ahead.
I have Rick Martin.
Yep.
I have Mike Ramsey.
Yep.
I have Danny Gare.
Yeah, see, you're going to the guys that I wasn't seeing in the 70s, yeah.
I have Rene Robert.
Rene Robert? Come on, Paul.
I have Dale Hawerchuk.
Wait. Why Rene Robert? Why is it? I mean, isn't he just the guy who happened to be with two of the greatest players?
He scored some huge goals in the playoffs for them. He was just fun to watch.
Huh.
He was a fun player to watch with his speed. Yeah, he played with some great players.
Yeah.
But he played the point on the power play. You know, he was just a fun guy to watch. And if you look back on some of those teams, he was their leading scorer. You know, with the way he went. So, you know, he was a fun player to watch.
Hmm.
Dale Hawerchuk was on it.
Yeah.
Brad May.
Yeah.
Rob Ray. Daniel Briere. And Martin Baron.
I put Eichel on my list. I love watching this guy play. And if they trade him, it'll break my heart. I think he's an immensely talented player. And there are so many things to love about his game. When he is on his game, which he never was this past season, you know, when he would get that puck and fly up ice, it could be mesmerizing when he is on his game. So I have him on my list. I have a soft spot for him. And I put a guy, I don't know that anybody else had him on the list, but I've always had a soft spot for him, too. And I think he's, in the time that I've been around here, and this is 30-plus years watching the Sabres, I think he's one of the most skillful, talented offensive players, especially for an organization that was not known for drafting and developing offensively skilled players. I thought that I've always felt he was not appreciated enough by segments of the fan base, and that is Thomas Vanek.
I had him on and took him off to put Rob on. I said, how can I have a list without Rob Ray?
Rob Ray, yeah.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed watching him play and what he did. So he was on and then he came off.
I didn't put Rob on my list. You know why? He's too mean to you on the broadcast. You know, you don't get the feed because you're there in the box. Every time they show you working at your computer in the box, he always makes fun of you, Hamilton. And I got to stick up for you, Paul. I'm just looking out for your best interest.
People say he said some nice things about me, too, along the way.
There was one time I think he said something nice about you.
When you guys were all partying in the suite, and, you know, actually there's an opener
about
that.
Weren't you like the hardest working guy at the whole station?
He says, look at them all in there, and he named y'all, and he said, there's only one guy working, and that's Paul.
Yeah, he doesn't know that. You know, they show Paul sitting in the press box, and his laptop is open, which, by the way, I'm impressed you don't have like one of those old typewriters instead of having the laptop.
That was provided to me by the station.
Yeah, I knew that. But they don't know that that laptop is open and you're playing solitaire. Like they think you're actually working at the game and you're playing card games all night.
I'm answering you on Twitter. You're bothering me on Twitter.
So. Well, that's because I'm asking you questions about how to explain the game to me and all that stuff. So that's, you know what? I feel bad now. I forgot about Hawerchuk.
I love watching him play.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right.
How that team never won a cup. I mean, we talk about, you know, top two centers here that we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier. Hawerchuk and LaFontaine, are you kidding me?
That's why I feel bad forgetting Hawerchuk, because you know what, Paul, when he passed away, I remember, okay, you know, I know we're going to talk about Dale Hawerchuk, and I wanted to write some points down and do some research and look back at things, and I looked back, you know, his point totals, the seasons and all that stuff, the rosters when he was here. And one of the first things I thought of, and I said this to Jeremy when he asked me about what do I think about Dale Hawerchuk, it might have been the very first thing was what you just said. I went back and I thought, how the hell did they not have more playoff success? I mean, you talk about the 2 points you made, two of the top centers in the league, incredibly talented, both players could drive lines, drive teams, and beyond them, some of the players that were here when those guys excuse me, when those guys were playing for the Sabres, you'd look back and go, how the hell did you not get past the first round?
I'll never forget. It's different now, but back then, you know, they had the card games, and you know, when you're on the plane as a media person, you have a place to sit and you stay there. You don't start interacting with the players, that kind of thing. You're separate. You're not there to do a job. You're there to get to a game, and that's that. And I walked by, and he goes, Paul, you want to play with us? And, I mean, they have currency in their hand that I haven't seen in you have a month's salary in your hand right now. And it's like, no, I'm good, but thanks for asking.
They're not playing blues or a nickel, reds or a dime, and whites or a quarter, right? I don't think. Would they a little bit beyond your – I think your level of comfort, right?
Yeah, that was I'm good, but thank you for asking.
Right, I mean, you know, blues would be $1, and then it's $5, and then $10 max, I assume. You wouldn't see anything higher than a $10 bill.
The good old days, I said, that's all different now, but back then, it was a good old day.
Plus, you know, the whole thing about, you know, when I was thinking about all-time favorite Sabres, I know I did, about what this guy was like to deal with from the media standpoint, and whether he would just, you know, hang out in the locker room and just talk to the guy as opposed to the very formal media player relationship. But anyway, Howard Chuck, you know, tremendously talented, but a leader, good guy to talk to, nice guy to be around, right? I mean, you always, you know, I think you would say all that about Dale Howard Chuck the person, not just Dale Howard Chuck the player. And I think when he passed and you hear all the things that were said about him from former teammates, that would show you that he was a good guy. You know,
beyond he was a little shy in interviews, but he would give you thoughtful answers. You know, it wasn't the cookie cutter type of thing. If you ask him a thoughtful question, he would give you a thoughtful answer, kind of like Ryan Miller or Robin Leonard. You know, if you put some effort into your question and ask them a thoughtful question, they're going to give you a very solid, thoughtful answer.
For sure.
He was definitely like that.
That's why Rob's segments with the afternoon guys are must-listen-to radio, because they have some fun, he tells great stories, and he gives you really good insight and thoughtful answers.
But they're all lies, so...
I didn't want to be the one to call him out, because you know what? I'm afraid of him. But he likes you for some reason, I guess, from what you told me. So we'll let it go. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Following up on the Bills schedule, talking about your number one favorite all-time Sabre and why. The Preakness is tomorrow. We will get you some betting advice when we get back. Todd Height, Batavia Downs, is on the way on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sword will never rise.
You know, it's, I guess that's Maryland, my Maryland, but it's funny. The very first note, I thought it was the wheels on the bus. You know, the wheels on the bus go around. I'm like, why is Brayden playing a children's song? Right. Let's get right to our Wester hotline. The Preakness is tomorrow, which means we need to turn to our good buddy Todd Height over at Batavia Downs for some betting advice, and he is joining us right now. Todd, it's Howard and Paul is in for Jeremy this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you guys as well.
Here's the man that's won me a lot of money over
here. It's not me. I think he's talking about you, Todd. Yeah. What in the world is going on with Medina Spirit?
Well, you know, you said earlier in the week, earlier in your show today, it was a bad week for the Sabres, and it's also a bad week for horse racing. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Medina Spirit, the amazing colt that we can talk about later, he wins the Derby, digs in, holds off three horses, and then after, horses are tested after the race, and unfortunately, he comes up with a positive sample. He had a legal, completely legal therapeutic medication in his system. Normally this medication is injected into a horse and horses cannot race on it. It's not considered performance enhancing. Unfortunately, the horse tested with 21 picograms of this medication called betamethasone, and horses are only allowed to have 10 picograms. Now, do you guys know what a picogram is?
I'm still not sure what a milligram is, so I'm going to go no.
Well, a picogram is one trillionth of a gram. So it's not like this horse was loaded with this medication. This horse had 21 picograms, so just a little tiny amount. Well, after review by the Baffert Stable, no vets gave this horse any injections. The horse was tested 4 days before the race, came up completely clean. So how did this betamethasone end up in the horse's system? As it turns out that the horse had a skin rash. A vet recommended some ointment. The ointment contained this medication, and that's why the horse tested positive. The medication had nothing to do whatsoever with this horse winning. It's just a bad break. It's a black eye for horse racing. The headlines have been terrible. The Derby winner drug. A former president called the horse a junkie. It's just ridiculous. It's sad for the game. What we should be talking about, Howard, is this horse was purchased for $1,000. Nobody wanted this horse. He was sold at auction for just $35,000. The owners were prepared to spend $50,000, and they didn't even have to because he's just a little, tiny, scrawny thing. He has no breeding whatsoever. He kind of reminds me of Seattle Slough. Instead of talking about the amazing performance by this horse, we're talking about this positive test. So it's a shame. The horse has been tested 3 times now since he's arrived at Baltimore, and as long as he continues to pass the test, he'll be allowed to run. But just a sad event for horse racing.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up, and then we'll get into the overall field. So, because you will end with, you know, the handicapping, the betting advice.
Yeah.
Is there a point, Todd, where you have a definitive word on whether or not Medina Spirit is running tomorrow? Is like there a deadline today?
Yeah, as he continues to pass the test, which he's already been tested a couple of times and no issue. Same thing with the other Baffert Horse Concert Tour. He's being tested as well. But as long as he, and again, there's no reason to think he will not continue to pass these tests. It was just a bad break. It was a mistake. They obviously didn't know what was in that ointment. However, this could be very costly for the owners because when the split sample comes back in a week or two, and if that also contains this betamethasone, which is not an easy word for me to say, then the horse will be disqualified. He'll be placed 20th. The owner will lose $1.8 million. Mr. Baffert will lose his commission, $180,000, and it will end up in court, just like it did in 1968 when Dancer's Image was first under the wire in the Kentucky Derby. After the race, it was found he had a painkiller in his system. He was disqualified, and the Forward Pass is now the winner of the 1968 Kentucky Derby, even though he did not win the race. And this will end up in court, and then Baffert's case will simply be that this 21 picograms did not have any effect on the race, and I'm sure they'll have witnesses. He's got a very good attorney. Craig Robertson is known as a great equine attorney, and we'll see what it goes. As far as the bettors, because we've had hundreds of calls, unfortunately, wagering, parimutuel wagering, is based on the official order of finish. And I know a person that has a $100 win ticket on the second-place finisher, Mandaloon, and unfortunately, that's a souvenir. He's not going to be able to cash it. So nothing changes when it comes to parimutuel wagering.
How is the overall field?
The overall field is terrible. Absolutely terrible. The Preakness is getting weaker and weaker every year because nobody wants to come back in 2 weeks. There's only three horses from the Derby in this field, and it's a shame. Years ago, the Preakness would almost mimic the Derby, but not anymore. So you've got three Derby horses, two are Baffert's, and the rest are just they're in here with a chance. Anything's possible in a horse race, but not a very good field already.
Weather, what's the deal on that first for tomorrow, or late tomorrow afternoon, early tomorrow evening?
Perfect day in Baltimore, low 70s, very little chance for rain, gorgeous weather for the racetrack. We'll have no outcome whatsoever on the race.
Post positions, when you saw all the slots announced, how did that impact the race, the betting, if at all?
Well, I think Mr. Baffert, who has two horses, as I said, he has Medina Spirit and Concertor. I think he would prefer Medina Spirit to have an outside post because Concertor, who was owned separate owners, this is kind of interesting, and that's the whole strategy when you talk about the race. What's going to happen when they go to the gate opens? Who's going to the lead? I can't predict it because Medina Spirit has run his best races when he's in the lead, like he did in the Kentucky Derby. That was the best race of his life. Concertor, number 10, the other Baffert horse, his best races have been when he's on the lead. Well, they both can't be on the lead. Something's got to give. So the question is, you have a Hall of Fame jockey on Medina Spirit, John Velasquez, Hall of Fame jockey on Concertor, Mike Smith. Who's going to lead? I can't predict it, and that's what makes this race a little bit difficult because whoever goes to the front certainly has that advantage.
Before we get to the betting advice, you know we always like to ask about long shots. Any good ones?
Well, there's two that, you know, I got to tell you guys, as far as long shots in the Preakness, the Derby's had 250-1 shots. Mind That Bird, Giacomo, 2005, 2009. The Belmont of 2001 had a 70-1 shot. In the history of the Preakness, the longest shot to ever win is only 23-1. So long shots do not do that great in the Preakness. In fact, the favorite has won half of the Preaknesses throughout the history, which is amazing considering the national average for favorites in horse racing is about 33%. So the Preakness is a very formful race. That said, there's two horses that you may want to look at. The two, Keep Me in Mind. He's a deep stretch runner. He'll need a fast pace. Will he get it or not? We'll have to see. But the trainer made a comment this week. He loves his horse. And trainer Robertino Diodoro is a very good trainer. When he makes a statement like that, we may have to pay attention. The other horse you may be interested in is the four Crowded Trade. He's 10-1. He has the same pattern as 2017 winner, Cloud Computing. Cloud Computing won his first race, came in second in the Gotham in his second race, third in the win. This horse has done the exact same thing. And, you know, horses, trainers, they have habits and patterns, so you may want to look at the long shots. But I have to tell you, I think it's a two-horse race between the three Medina Spirit and the 10 Concertor. Concertor, guys, he was touted better as a better horse leading up to the Derby than Medina Spirit. This horse has unlimited potential. He went off at 1-5 in the Arkansas Derby. He tired out late, and Baffert said this horse needs some rest, so that's why he wasn't in the Derby. He may have been the favorite in the Derby if he won the Arkansas Derby, and to me, he's the horse to beat.
I have pen in hand. What's the plan?
Again, a very hard race to make money if the two favorites run 1-2. I'm going to box three horses in the try. The horse that we were talking about in the Derby, that he had a bad trip. He didn't break well, and he was wide the whole way as the 5 Midnight Bourbon. So I'm going to play an exacta box, the 3 Medina Spirit, the 5 Midnight Bourbon, and the 10 Concertor. I'm going to do the same thing in the trifecta, box the three horses, the 3, 5, 10. I got to tell you quickly, guys, we had two customers on the Kentucky Derby that bet $1 on the superfecta, 8-7, 9-14, and guess what came in? 8-7, 9-14. That $1 bet got them over $9,000. So,
wow.
Hey, you don't have to spend a lot of money. OTBs will open tomorrow at 10 a.m. Post time, as you said, is 6:50. You can wager all day long. Here at Batavia Downs in our Park Place Event Center, wagering starts today at noon. You can wager until 6 o'clock, and then tomorrow we're having that wagering will be open in the Park Place. We'll have tables and chairs set up there. We still have capacity limits, and you still have to wear face coverings. But you can wager on the Kentucky or the Preakness Stakes right here in the Park Place. And Ryan's party is still going on. There's still room, $75 deal. You can check out the information at BataviaDownsGaming.com. It's a great little party. You get a free play. You get a $10 wager on the Preakness, so you can pay at the door. So that's going on. So a lot going on, guys. Should be an interesting race.
You didn't get a plug-in for BataviaBets.com.
Well, thank you, because BataviaBets.com has an amazing bonus for new users only. You wager $100, we give you a $25 bonus. We signed up over 500 customers for the Derby taking advantage of that bonus. And I have to tell you, kudos to your listeners, Howard, because based on what we took in on the Derby, we paid out way more than we should have. We should have paid out in winnings about $1.2 million, but your listeners crushed the Kentucky Derby. We paid out over $1.4 million. We were 9% better than the national average, so hopefully bring those tickets back to OTB and get them cashed and take a shot on the Preakness.
Well, I always say, you know, the reason why we talk about it, when Ryan first gave me the heads up about it, Todd, is, well, first off, you don't have to get in the car and drive to OTB. You get on your computer. But I also, you know, I'm not an expert when it comes to, you know, trifecta, exact, all this stuff. And it's an easy enough site that it walks you through, shows you each bet, what you're choosing from, gives you a running total of how much it's going to cost. I mean, it's if I can figure it out, and I don't have a clue on betting, then anybody can figure out. And, you know, we've talked about it. If you don't know what you're doing, you feel a little pressure when you show up at OTB because, you know, all the people around you are probably experts. Like, yeah, I think I'm exact, a box exact. I don't. So you just do that online. It's a lot
easier. Well, we will have some volunteers, too, because it can be intimidating. No
yes,
question
it can.
About it.
Yes,
supers
it can.
Supers and pick threes and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So you can ask one of our volunteers. Myself, Ryan, will be here at Batavia Downs 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow to answer all your questions. It's a fun day. And like you say, what's nice about Batavia Bets compared to the other online wagering platforms is when you win, you're able to go to any OTB, you fill out a withdrawal slip, and guess what? We'll pay you immediately. You do not have to wait 3 to 5 days for your money. OTB, you'll get paid right away.
Always nice to talk to you. Enjoy the race.
Have a great day, and say hello to the legendary Paul Hamilton for me.
Legendary.
I'm right here. You just said hello to
legendary.
Love listening to Paul Hamilton. Always an honor to be
here. Oh, you're the one. I knew somebody did.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. As I said, you've made me a lot of money over the years.
Well, let's hope it continues. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Todd. That is Todd Height from Batavia Downs. Legendary. I mean, when they do WGR Night at Batavia Downs, I don't remember seeing on the, you know, the big message board there, we welcome everyone from WGR, most notably the legendary Paul Hamilton.
To get too carried away so you don't get your feelings hurt. So I care about your feelings.
Yeah, because I've got a big ego. You know that, Paul. I am prima donna in a big way. Listen, now EJ Raddick's coming up at 9. We're going to talk about the Sabres and the Stanley Cup playoffs with him. But I know your final segment with us is next. We told Paul he didn't have to stay for the whole 4 hours because he's a good dude. I do want to get the team you would like to see win the cup this year. All right, we'll do that when we get back with you. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. If you just joined us and you missed Todd's betting advice or you didn't quite catch it all, the folks over at Batavia Downs Gaming have just tweeted it out. I will retweet it, so it's going to be there if you want to go ahead and put a wager down on the Preakness tomorrow. Alrighty-dighty. Stanley Cup playoffs begin this weekend. By the way, Stanley Cup playoffs beginning before the regular season ends is a new thing for the National Hockey League. They're playing out the North Division regular season schedule while opening up playoffs in the other divisions. Whatever. But all the playoff spots are locked in. All of the matchups are set. So, Mr. Hamilton, Brayton and I are going to talk a little bit more about this in the next hour after EJ Raddick joins us from NHL Network. But I'll just ask you the easy question, the big picture question. Who would you like to see win the Stanley Cup this year? Is there a particular team or for your fan base or a storyline of the 16 teams that are competing for the Cup? Who would you like to see win?
Well, I always like to see somebody new, so I guess that would incorporate Nashville, Florida, Winnipeg.
Yep. Minnesota.
Minnesota and Vegas, I guess, would be the ones I would pick, just because they've never won it before.
Can't believe you didn't pick the Bruins, Paul. I'd really, really stunned you wouldn't pick, one of the arch rivals. who do you think will win the Stanley Cup? Do you think there is a best team that you would favor? Not just, Colorado President's Trophy, that might be the team. Who do you think it would be favored to win the Cup, in your opinion?
I think this is the hardest year to figure that out because you didn't get all the teams played the same teams over and over again.
Right.
So you never got a sample of Toronto playing Vegas or anything like that. So this is a real difficult year. I think it's hard to say who could come out and who could survive. And then you know, how it's going to break down. You know, a lot of people don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs are for real because of the division they played in. Well, yeah. We're not going to find out because they're going to play two rounds in their division before we can even find out, before they start playing games against teams that they haven't played against.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I always get excited for the playoffs, when the Sabres are in it, I should say more excited. But even when they're not, I still get excited to watch the playoffs. Paul, this year's it's different from this standpoint. It's almost like I'm seeing a different league because, quite honestly, I had very much so tunnel vision East Division this year. I think the only time I watched a game that didn't involve East Division teams was Toronto-Edmonton. It's like I shut off the other three divisions. They didn't exist, didn't need to know about it. I'm watching everybody in the East. As it turns out, you know, we could tell the Sabres were going to miss out on the playoffs again, so I had even less interest in, like, scouting teams that were good. There's a newness to watching matchups because it's like, you know, three-quarters of the league didn't exist to me this season.
And NBC didn't help that. It was like we had a season's pass to see the Pittsburgh Penguins, Boston, Washington, and the Rangers. I mean, they were on, like, all the time. We got to see most of their games because of that. So the NBC didn't help that at all because they really, really favored the East in their coverage.
Well, that's why, like, when Toronto played Edmonton and everything was going well and McDavid and Matthews and all that, and thank goodness for either A, Hockey Night in Canada, or NHL Network picking up the Hockey Night in Canada, or Sportsnet, whatever feed it would have been, because you wouldn't know that Toronto and Edmonton were playing with two of the best players in the game and two really talented teams, because sure, we have to see the Penguins and the Flyers or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know the Winnipeg Jets are in the league.
They're still in the league, Paul?
Yeah, right. If you go by what we're watching on NBC.
I think the North Division, I think, honestly, one of the first-round series I really want to see is Toronto-Montreal, because we haven't seen it since 1979. And, I do believe the Leafs, and have been for a few years now, they're so entertaining, whether you root for them or root against them. They're entertaining the way they play. And they have a number of players, Matthews at the top of that list, Marner, Tavares, that are just must-see television. I think Toronto-Montreal, and then I hope it's, if Toronto wins, Toronto-Edmonton, to me, would be a great second-round series to watch.
Toronto's just happy they never play Boston like they normally do every
year.
Yeah,
that's right. And they can't lose to them this year in
first round.
You know,
they can't. I mean, they've had playoff problems. I mean, they have great players that haven't performed in the playoffs. So now that it's something different, it'll be interesting to see if that changes.
All right, well, listen, thank you for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you on the show. Try not to miss me too much this weekend.
Yes. Are you going somewhere?
No, I'll be around if you want to come by. Like I said, we're putting in a door if you want to help with some projects around the house.
I was thinking of getting my plants today and maybe starting the gardens.
You know what? I'll whisper this just in case. I think we're out of that whole 30s and 40s at night thing.
That's what I was thinking.
I checked with our good buddy Patrick Hammer over at Channel 2, and because he and I are both in the same boat here with the dilemma of, I got grass seed, Paul. I got some barren patches. I got some stuff I got to do with my lawn. It's been too darn cold. So he said, we're good to go. We're going to be in the 70s next week. I think the lows are going to be in the upper 50s. So I think you are okay to do your outdoor landscaping work.
Yeah, I figured I better get there today because I think they're going to be very busy during the weekend.
Yes.
And things
yes.
might get picked over.
Go there right now.
I don't think they're open yet.
All right, wait another hour. Thanks, Mr. Hamilton. A pleasure chatting with you. Okay, well, have a good weekend. Paul, sitting in this morning, hang on, because I probably should tell you that since I didn't. When Paul joins us, it is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We will talk some hockey, both Sabres and Stanley Cup playoffs. Jack Eichel, what's going on here with Buffalo, and all the other fun stuff. EJ Raddick, NHL Network, will join us in a moment. WGR.